We're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I hope you have the verse that we're going to speak from. At least you know it, or maybe even memorized is good. And this is a verse that's going to help us be confident and bold in our faith. Romans, chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse number 14. God is making here the point, and if you're familiar with the Bible and the message of the Scriptures, you know that what the world needs today is not just a reform program or something of that nature, but it needs the gospel. As much as we need good politicians and so many, the morality, we need good character and principles of that, but our first need is the gospel. Yes. And in Romans chapter 1, let's look in verse number 14. And Paul here is speaking, and he's writing to this church of the Romans, and he says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Notice at verse number 14, he says, "I am a debtor." Now you'll notice, and even in the book of Romans, there's at least four types of debts. And this is one of the types of debts mentioned, our debt toward our fellow man. We also owe a debt toward God. We have those obligations as well. So this type of debt is an obligation to tell the gospel. Notice verse number 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray and see what God may want to tell us tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that you would teach us tonight from your word. I pray you would illuminate the scriptures, Holy Spirit. Show us where we need to change to conform with them and with you and with Christ's pattern of living and of all that he did. I pray that you would just give us attentiveness to your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So our thoughts tonight are the gospel, or a reason for boldness. And as I use that term, gospel, let's see, there's several questions I want to look at regarding this text. And first of all, what is the gospel? And we have a general idea of what it is, the Christian faith, if you would. But specifically, God gives us some more specific things that the gospel is. Because as we witness, if you are saved tonight, that's what we have. We have the gospel. That's our tool. That's our weapon. That's what we have to work with to bring other men to Christ. So we should know what it is. And the better we know what it is, the better we can help others find out what it is and explain it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives a synopsis of what the gospel is. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number, well, let's say verse number 1, we're looking at what is the gospel specifically. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand." Verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So the first part of the gospel here, he's going to make us several points to this. But in short, the gospel is called several things. If I could back up, it's called the preaching of the cross. It's called, Paul said, "For we preach Christ." So the gospel is more than just a facts or a set of events. But the gospel specifically is a person, right? Jesus Christ. And as you follow what Christ did, it acquaints you with him. It's called the good news, is the definition, I guess, of that word gospel. The good message. So it's, first of all, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. That's, the world needs the gospel today because God is looking at man not as good human beings, but as bad human beings. You know, philosophy's trying to change that. You won't find that in the textbooks. The world wants to say we're naturally good and getting better, most of us in society. But that's not what it is. And the Bible says that all have sinned. Over and over it says that there's none righteous, no, not one. We all do fade as a leaf. All our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We're all together as an unclean thing. And over, that's the basis of why we need the gospel. And the driving force behind the gospel is what is down the road for a sinner, for us, apart from God, apart from the grace of God. And that is only judgment. It's only the wrath of God. And sometimes we don't share that very much, but that's the reason why we have to share the gospel. Most importantly, is because Christ is coming and judgment's coming. And so the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. It says, according to the scriptures, as you know, it was foretold. Isaiah 53, even verse 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Before Christ ever came, the prophets were foretelling that he would die for our sins. And that those, so his people would have a message to believe and put their faith in. And in other places, we find that he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many. And there's multiple references throughout the New Testament foretelling the death, the kind of death that Christ would die. And every part was fulfilled accurately. But the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, for Christ also, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. He took them on himself. 1 Peter 3:18, you keep going, and it says, for Christ also suffered for sins. He took them on, and he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so the first part of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. And it goes on, and that he was buried. And so that it was proof of his death. And if you think of it as well, I'll get there. And that he was buried. And it goes on, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen as Cephas, and that he was seen as Cephas, then of the 12. So we have that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again and was seen. And he's going on in a larger context, so he's going to keep talking. But Christ's resurrection was seen by many. And there was ample proof of that. And we'll look at a little bit at his resurrection later. But what is the gospel? It's that work of Christ for redemption. As Christ laid down his life for us, for sinners. And I hope you can say, Lord Jesus, I know you did that for me. I know you laid down your life for me. You were buried for me and you rose again for me. That's when we make personal application, believe in our heart, that's when we're saved. We're called on to believe the gospel. And so we have Christ's resurrection as that, if you would, the final part of the gospel. When he was buried, his flesh died, but in spirit he was at work. Christ, you know, is an eternal being. He was, and though he took on human flesh, when that he laid aside that body for 3 days, that didn't kill Jesus Christ, though his body was in the grave. So physically speaking, he was dead. Spiritually speaking, he was alive. And he went down and preaches to the captives. And he goes that it talks about how I'm getting a little distracted here from my point. But anyways, the resurrection, how Christ, God accepted what Jesus did, how the veil is rent. And God accepted that work, that payment, that price that Jesus did. That's the gospel, and that's what we have to share with people. Now, it says here that back in our text, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And so the gospel in what Christ did in his work, Paul goes on to say, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. As we think on that, there are several ways in which God reveals his power through the gospel. And I'll just go over them shortly because they kind of coincide with the first ones. But in the blood of Christ, it's the power in the blood of Christ. And especially as we want to help others, if you're here today and you're saved and you want to be more useful in sharing the gospel with others, I would encourage you to memorize verses on topics. Just even a couple of verses, like For instance, the blood, the power of the blood of Christ. And if you commit, or at least learn where several are in your Bible, it'd be a great help to you in being able to articulate the gospel, such as the blood. We find in Revelation 1, verse 5, it says, "Unto him that loved us," speaking of Jesus, "and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And it talks about the power of the blood and washing us from our sins. We find again in Ephesians 1, 7, how that he talks about, "For in whom we have redemption through his blood in the forgiveness of sins." In Romans 5, 9, it talks about we shall be saved from wrath through his blood. He's delivered us from that wrath that would fall upon us. And so that we have the power is the power of God. And this power of God was revealed through the blood of Christ. Of course, it was revealed in the power of the resurrection of what Christ did, symbolizing that was God's acceptance of his Son. He raised up his Son. It was a finished work. I think it's neat, even how the second half of our Bible is named the New Testament. In other words, a testament similar to a will. And it's unique, as the writer of Hebrews points out, that this is one testament that the person who... So Christ, we have the Old Testament under, you know, the blood of Christ foreseen to come, but under the animals and things like that, under the following the ordinances of Christ, still through faith. But the writer of Hebrews points out that's not very sustainable. It's not lasting. But Christ, it says it's the New Testament in his blood. And he, being perfect, being God, God had provided his own sacrifice. We see the necessity of the blood. And by the way, those who would want to work their way to heaven or offer anything, you just ask them, what do you have as sufficient as the blood of Christ that's going to wash away your sins? There's only one thing God's accepting, and that's the blood of his Son. Yeah. Applied to, and he was able to lay down his life. That blood was applied to the accounts that they could be blotted out, those accusations, the sins against us, so that we could be saved. That way opened. And so we have this power, this resurrection. It's the New Testament. So when Christ died, when Christ died, it was put in action. It's like the will that was, you know, it only goes into play when the person dies. You know, for our purposes speaking here tonight. I don't know a lot about wills and things like that and trust, but as Hebrews explains, Christ's death was the power of that testament to put it into effect. Christ's resurrection, that's unique because the loved ones that pass from here, they don't come back to help divide the things in their will. That would be something quite strange. But Christ, it says he ever liveth to make intercession. And he rose again, and now he's the own executor of this New Testament in his blood. Amen. And that's just a wonderful thing. And so we have the power of the resurrection. And when we share the gospel... Really, I never much shared about the resurrection except in word. I didn't really, until I heard or read, I don't remember which, I was probably a book somewhere. But as he was sharing, how often I realized he would talk about the resurrection and Christ living today to save. And he just presented Christ as a living person, not just the facts of the gospel. And I thought that was key, and that's one thing I've been trying to do is focus also on the resurrection. As much as I focus on the death of Christ, the resurrection is key too, because Christ is a living Savior. And that's the reason he's coming again. Amen. So the power of the resurrection. We also have the power of the Word. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God." And this power in the gospel is seen in the blood of Christ, the resurrection, the Word of God. You'll remember in Romans 10, we have verse 9 and 10. We often quote how that those who basically believe and confess with their mouth are saved. God imputes that to their account. And it goes down to verse 17, and it says that, what does that say? I know it, but I forget it. It says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's not the beginning of it. So then faith. But it's in the progression there, and he's talking about the word, how the gospel was basically given to Jews and Gentiles, but some didn't reject it. But he said, anyways, whatever they do with it, the word of God is still the power of God to salvation. God is still going to use his word. Faith is still going to be generated in the hearts by the work of God through his word. Those who hear it and see it and understand it, they're going to have the faith to believe the gospel. And that's exactly how you got saved if you look back to it. The word was used. Somewhere you had to have a basis for your faith to put in Christ. And though you may have been told the message and told the word, but you may have read it and known it for yourself. And we see the importance as we want to share the gospel with men, we have to give them the word. We have to give them the words of God. I find often I leave a conversation and I really didn't give them any word of God. I told them things, and that's good. Sometimes that seems to be all we have time to do. But even just to use scripture, it says that's the sword of the Spirit. That's what God's going to use to generate faith, to use conviction. And illustrations are important, I know that, but God, give people the word when you're sharing the gospel with them. And so we see that it's the power of God through the word. We have to rely on that. And you see in verse number 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And the gospel reveals Christ's righteousness and his alone. And so let's move on to what does the gospel do? So that is the gospel in a sense of what is Christ himself. He died, he was buried, and he rose again for our sins and our justification. What does it do? It says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I wonder if you could put your name like unto my salvation. I wonder if you can truthfully say that. It was the power of God unto my salvation. We know it's been the power of God unto many people's salvation. There was a man, he was a terrible blasphemer, a persecutor. He says he was injurious. He had it out for Christians. And he was the cause of many being put to death, no doubt, at least an instrumental part in that. And we know him by the name of Paul. And the same, he talks about himself as the chief of sinners in Timothy. And that's what the power of the gospel is. And we also know of a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. Remember, God, Jesus cast 7 devils, I believe, out of her. And that's what the power of the gospel does. Yeah. I remember learning about a man by the name of John Newton. He was a slave trader, a very blaspheming young man. So he was a sailor, started out by that for trade. And the men around him, his ways were so evil and so obnoxious that most of them didn't even want to be around him. And they were ungodly, evil sailors themselves. But that's how just distasteful this man's life was, filled with iniquity and evil of all types, no different than what's in our hearts. But this man was living it out. And you may also have noticed that he's the one who wrote Amazing Grace. And God got a hold of his heart through a series of events. And basically, I believe he came, if I remember right, came to an understanding that he was either going to die or get saved. God said, I'm going to kill you or you'll repent and serve me. And so that pretty much sobered him up. And he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was miraculously turned his life completely about. Gave him new desires and all that. That's the power of the gospel. And he said this, I'm a great sinner. He's a great savior. That's the power of the gospel today. Is it been the power of God to your salvation? And who has it been? May God grant that it would be the power of God to other people's salvation through our salvation. It's not supposed to stop with us. So what does the gospel do? It is the very power of God to our salvation, to everyone that believeth. So now, look, I skipped over that first part where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I shared this second part first, if you would, because that was Paul's reason why he wasn't ashamed. He recognized the power of the gospel. He recognized what it had done in his life. I can just see himself thinking of him, and he said, yep, it'll save anyone. It'll save all who believe. It saved me. And that's what he wanted to do. As we think of, I want to go back because I came across the illustration of, we talk about anyone who believes. God can save and trust Christ. This story is told of a true story of two priests in the Russian church. And they met on a boat traveling somewhere. And so the one is they're having a conversation. And the one is warning the other against the Baptists, saying, you have to watch out for the Baptists. They'll take the people of your church away. You know, you watch out for the Baptists. And the one says, oh, I don't need to worry about the Baptists. All the people from my church are drunkards and all kinds of things. Do all kinds of evil things. They'll be in my church forever. But that one said, that's the thing. That's exactly who the Baptists proselytize. That's who they're after. And that's the thing. The power of God can reach down to save the lowest. And even us who think we're the highest, but we're still the lowest. That's what Christ came to save. Amen. So not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of Christ. Not ashamed of what Christ did for me. And there's several reasons, I want to share them quickly, that we have today that we don't need to be ashamed. And it's easy to get ashamed because, or whatever word we want to use, to back off, to be silent, whatever we want to say, it's easy not to be bold like we ought to. And as humans, I think we like the path of least resistance. We'll go against something for a while, but eventually we want to settle down to an equilibrium. We don't want to always be pushing or fighting. It just wears on you. And so we want to find a state of rest. And with a culture that isn't changing, a culture that's continuing to hate the things of God, to reject the things of God and the gospel, it's easier not to say anything than to say what we should. It's easier to go along with it and say, well, I'm just not going to bring it out this time, but I still believe it. I know it's true. It saved me. But we just seek that place of, well, I step back and let things be as they are. And with God's help, God, we have to be bold with the gospel. And it wasn't the topic of the message tonight, but we could talk about the need of the gospel. And that's exactly our need for boldness, because Christ is coming. Because the spiritual truths are real realities. There's a real heaven today. There's a real hell today. That's why we need the gospel. If men weren't dying and going to hell, if I wasn't on my road to hell, I wouldn't have needed the gospel. I would have just been fine. We could have talked about many other things, but I'm glad my parents gave me the gospel. God gave me the gospel right in my home so I could believe and trust in it. And we have to remind ourselves of that. That men aren't okay. And it's easy. I was talking with a man just recently. And after sharing some of these things with us, our need for the gospel and saying how the Bible sees us, showed him a bunch of verses. And you could tell he was having a hard time accepting that. We don't like to see how depraved we are and how sinful we are. But that's why exactly we need the gospel and have to share it with people. But reasons why we don't have to be ashamed. First of all, because it's our hope. We don't have to be ashamed because we have hope. Romans 5:5 says that hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And so the hope that we have in Christ, may it give us that love of God to share it with others. So I'm not ashamed for myself. I have an eternal hope. I'm not ashamed to share it with others because God gives me a love for them. Also, maybe you remember in Acts 5, Peter and John, I believe, have performed a miracle. Acts 4, maybe. Well, it's okay. It's Acts 5. I'm thinking about two different verses at the same time. Let's see which this one is. I'm actually in Acts 4. And so Peter and John are talking here, and they're giving the gospel. In verse 12, they say there's not salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they're giving these people the gospel. And it goes on to say in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And when they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Also important is verse 8 and the preceding things, but it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. And what we need is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. That's the best. I don't know of anything more that's going to give us a boldness in the gospel, a boldness to share it. In our flesh, we just get scared, or we get too busy, or we lose sight of the importance of sharing it and all the things. Other people, we feel there's not an opportunity. We have to ask God to fill us with His Spirit, claiming that, and go in that boldness that He gives. And so you see that they were walking in fellowship with the Spirit and with Christ. And that's what gave them the boldness to do what they did. And shortly after, in verse 31, they're threatened. Later on, they're beaten. And the disciples kneel down to pray that God will give them the kind of boldness they need. And it says at that time, God filled them with the Holy Ghost again. And that's what we need, to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's our hope, walking in the Spirit. I'm forgetting a point I was going to mention. But back to our text in Romans, there's one more word I want you to notice, and that's in verse 15. Paul said, I'm a debtor. That's our obligation. Another place God says we're an ambassador. We're committed to, with the word of reconciliation, that ministry. In verse 15, he says, So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Paul knew what awaited him. He said that in every city, you know, the Holy Ghost testifies by the mouth that bonds and tribulation awaited him when he went to Rome. Evidently, he had already had a fruitful ministry there. But his time here on earth is nearing an end. He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And I want you to notice that word ready. That is another key to not being ashamed, to being bold in the gospel. Sometimes we're not ready. We haven't really memorized any verses. We don't know where to find them in our Bible. We haven't gone over different ways of approach. And those things, to be good in any business, we're going to have to study. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. And so we're rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe God gives us boldness as we're ready. That's going to give you confidence. You don't have to know every verse there is on a subject, but you could know several. You could learn the Romans Road. You could write out the references so you know how to find it in your Bible and show somebody. And earlier, it came back to me. Thank you, Lord. Another thing, Paul says, okay, I'm going to Rome. He also, did you know, struggled with boldness, I believe, as every person does. And you find in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, he said this, that they would pray for him. He talked about praying. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So it's always going to be that temptation not to say anything, to just walk away. But when God lays something on our heart, we have the right to claim His power to go in the boldness to do that. So, in short, the gospel is Christ's death, Christ's burial, Christ's resurrection, Christ Himself, a living Savior that we can have as our hope, as our confidence. He is the power of God. He is the God of power. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 1 says that He's declared to be the Son of God with power. And God is, He wants to go with us and before us as we commit to share the gospel with others. And pray that God will give you an opportunity. Pray that God will give you the boldness you need to do that. Because the world's greatest need today is the gospel. But our great need as Christians is to not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, there's enough Christians to go around probably to convert the world, but we have to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the things we're passionate about, that's what we're going to be bold about. And so God take the means that God's given you to keep your heart. Wait, I have to keep my heart hot. I like to read soul-winning books and stories, and to keep that before my eyes of men's need for the gospel, and just to keep, God wants to keep that before our hearts and our eyes. So that's what I have for tonight. The gospel. May God, who are you sharing that with? Who are you going to share that with? Churches grow by us sharing the gospel and others believing it. We cannot make another believe, but by God's grace, we can probably make a lot more effort than we do sometimes in getting the gospel. And check, God wants our hearts to be hot. They grow lukewarm so quickly. And so may God fire our hearts with the gospel to see men's need, perishing, lost, undone, Christ soon return. And God's entrusted us the gospel, the word of reconciliation. He says that you're ambassadors. And he says, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we have the pardon. We have the word of reconciliation. We can offer men eternal pardon, everlasting life through the gospel. And by God's grace, may we do that. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would stir our hearts to remember that it was by the gospel we got saved. It was by Christ. And I pray that where we've become cold, or where we need boldness, or just to keep sharing the gospel, we'd evaluate how we're doing it, and we'd do it in your power, and that much fruit would be born of it. For you said it is the power of God to salvation. I pray we'd count on that and see it so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.